Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Donna W. from California and I am a recovered compulsive eater. Today is Tuesday, August 27th. Thank you all for joining today. We are reading from the Big Book and we are at page 42, the second paragraph, starting with, "Then they outlined the spiritual answer," through one paragraph ending, "as in fact it proved to be." And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. Okay, let's look at the today's readers are, we've got Sandy T. for the 12 Steps, Vanessa G. for the 12 Traditions, Liz A. is reading our paragraph in the Big Book, Becca R., the Vision for You paragraph, Sherry M. is our backup, and we have Hillary B. as our newcomer greeter, and Betsy H. reading announcements. The reference numbers are, let me just look those up real quick, reference numbers for Tuesday, August 27th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 21689. That's 21,689. And sorry, looking for the ones for share ID for Monday, 10 a.m. Eastern time is 21,687, 21,687. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sandy T. to read the 12 steps of OA, please.
Sandy T. from California, ready to read the 12 steps. Thank you all for your service. Here are the steps as adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted that we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 4, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and everyone have a great day.
Thank you, Sandy T. Next, we have Vanessa G. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups, or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. And six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. And seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction and promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Vanessa G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your share on the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. And press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 42, the second paragraph, starting, then they outline the spiritual answer, and finishing with, as in fact it proved to be. All right. And I will have Liz A. please read that paragraph and comment on it.
Good morning. This is Liz A., recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, California. Then they outlined the spiritual answer and program of action, which 100 of them had followed successfully. Though I had been only a nominal churchman, their proposals were not intellectually hard to swallow, but the program of action, though entirely sensible, was pretty drastic. It meant I would have to throw away several lifelong conceptions out the window. That was not easy, but the moment I made up my mind to go through with the process, I had the curious feeling that my alcoholic condition was relieved, as in fact, it proved to be. Ooh, let's see. Well, you know, when I was ready to do this thing, I realized that this, you know, program of action required willingness. And I knew that I could do the intellectual part and what I thought the spiritual part meant, which to me was praying, having faith, okay, was never about action. And it talks here about the program of action being pretty drastic. So anyway, I looked up the meaning of drastic, and one of the meanings is desperate, last resort. And so I really, you know, had to think, was I really out of ideas? Was I out of trying what my quote-unquote brilliant mind was going to come up with, the new diet, the new way of doing it, the new time to eat, whatever it was. When it came to food, I was rebellious. I was immature. Being told what to do was off-putting. I was always filled with great intentions, but not willing to self-sacrifice. So to do this, I really had to be desperate. And, you know, when I get phone calls, outreach calls, the fellows often ask me, you know, how do I do this? How do I put the food down? How do I stop from relapsing? You know, and all I can share is my experience, which for me, I had to wake up with the terrible four horsemen, as it says in the book, terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair to push me into the pages of this book, the steps in this book, and really the love of a loving God. You know, it had to be despair. I was petrified. I thought I was going absolutely insane. Sane. My mind was off on its own, doing, controlling my body, and I couldn't do anything. And, you know, I didn't want to kill myself, but I didn't want to go on anymore. And that's what I had to get to. So, yeah, it was pretty drastic. And once I made the decision, I think then the crazy desire to ignore this program left, you know, and I was willing. Anyway, with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Liz A. All right. So we will open up the lines to have you share your first name, the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day, whether you've called in the 7 a.m. Eastern or the 7 a.m. Pacific, in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share?
Kara L.
Roz
L.
G.
Roz G.
Nick L.
Say that again.
Nick in Tennessee.
Was that Nick F?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Becca R.
Becca R and somebody H.
Betsy H.
Betsy H.
Deb E.
And Deb E. So let's just stop there. So I have Kara L, Roz G, Nick F, Becca R, Betsy H, and Deb E. All right, so if everyone please mute your line except for Kara R, who will be followed by Roz G. Go ahead, Kara.
Good morning. Thank you, Donna. This is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Los Angeles, California. The sentence that always stands out to me in this paragraph is, it meant I would have to throw several lifelong conceptions out of the window. I don't know. I mean, for me, I know like lifelong conceptions. Well, that means to me, what do I believe about the world around me and how it works? You know, what do I believe is my function in this world? What do I believe is your function in this world? Essentially, you know, all the instructions for me to play the director. And he's saying here, like, this was pretty drastic because I have to let go of all of that. What if it looked different? What if I had a growth mindset instead of a fixed mindset about things? What if I turned to a power greater than myself instead of trying to make the decisions and deciding what it should look like based on these lifelong concepts? What if I just said, you know, higher power, whatever? And I'll tell you, every time I've done that, there's been a solution that I didn't see. It was way simpler and a lot less complicated than my lifelong conception. You know, but it's scary because those are bedrock foundational ideas that I believe on how the world works. So if I, you know, I can see why the word drastic is being used, because I have to step up and I have to say, okay, God, I don't know if my lifelong conceptions are true. I'm willing to do whatever you put in front of me. Give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. You know, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to try it a different way. I'm willing to be open to your concepts instead of mine. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Kara L. Next up is Roz G, followed by Nick S.
Okay, good morning. Thank you. My name's Roz G. I'm calling from Palmdale, California. I'm at the dog park this morning. And I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered. Thank you, God, by God's grace. And I just want to say this is a really beautiful picture of what sponsorship is and what serious sponsorship is, that people are serious about recovery and that there's no BS, you know. It's really kind of scary in the beginning. It was drastic when my very first sponsor, you know, without knowing anything about the big book, zero, nothing about OA, just that I was fat, tired, wanted to be thin, you know, didn't really know anything, care about spiritual or doing anything for anybody else. And to have a sponsor say to me, I want you to stop eating sugar for the first, you know, for at least 30 days. Of course, you know, we know that, you know, there's other ways to do that, but that's what she said. Somebody's
hello.
Coughing. That's unmuted. Somebody is unmuted and coughing and saying hello. And wait, that threw me off. So I need to get back to where I was thinking. Oh yeah, the drasticness. And for me to quit eating sugar was drastic. And you know, that's just the beginning, you know. And then going through the steps and, you know, really getting into big book recovery, and that was really drastic for me. You know, taking the steps, doing the fourth step was drastic, you know, making, you know, having to face the welfare fraud department for $9,000 that I hid because I didn't want my husband to steal it from me when you're supposed to report all your money. That was drastic for me. Well, you know, that's a long story, but nothing ever happened and they forgave me and they saw my situation and my life. But there were a lot of lifelong conceptions that I thought I had to hide. I thought I had to lie. I thought I had to wear a mask. And today I don't wear masks. I'm honest. I try to be of service as best I can. I face reality. These are all states of relief for me. And it was not easy. But I'm glad that they wrote this because somebody needs to outline the spiritual program of action for me and for newcomers on a daily basis. And so I pass there. Thank you.
Thank you, Raj G. Next up is Nick F, followed by Becca R. Do we have someone from Tennessee, Nick F?
Hey, good morning, family. This is Nick F in Tennessee. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you. Please share.
Okay, thank you. You know, I was drastic in my disease of wearing over 5X and not bathing from holiday to holiday, not having my children, loving everything in life, loving the food more than anything and everything in life. I didn't care about you, and I really couldn't care about myself. That's beyond drastic. I was suicidal, you know, in my disease. And it says they outlined a spiritual path, you know, several lifelong conceptions out of the window. The main one for me that had to go out the window was that if I fixed my outside, my inside would be okay. I had to get that turned around. That it's, God is so much concerned and so much in love. I would even say after hearing that definition, God is desperately concerned about me and so much concerned about me that he even cares down to the very tiny morsel of what I put in my body, just a grain of sugar. You know, he's so concerned, and he's coming after me, and he allows me to feel the pain of doing life my way. And, you know, in a moment, on March 25th, 2021, I might have said the most honest prayer that I'm sure I said the most honest prayer that I've ever said in my life, because in that moment, a love for life returned to me. Sanity on so many levels returned to me. Instead of bathing from holiday to holiday, I do a morning routine, and sometimes I take one or two showers, or, you know, I have to bathe more than once a day, you know, and I get to have my children. My children have been returned to me for the last 2 years. You know, the conception of selfishness on the level that I was living in was changed in a moment when I asked any power, please help me. And now the prayer that I pray now is, you know, God, after saving my life, help me to live it. You know, out of 250 pounds, just gone, just taken away, you know. And so now today I have to live in a different kind of surrender, because it's no longer about the food, and it's no longer about that weight that follows me and hunts me everywhere I go. So, God, now that I look good, and now that I know how to sound good, and now that I have some ideas about how my life should go, God, help me still to live in that level of surrender, that any power, please just help me today. You know, and now I'm learning that I need you all on this line, and I have to call different people. I don't get to call the people that I want to call, you know, and I have to eat certain things, and, man, it just makes me smile, you know. For the last 3.5 years, you know, I haven't had certain items that were killing me and blinding me from even seeing God. It really hurts my heart when I hear people go on and on and on, and I know they're in relapse. Because for me, I couldn't even understand what God was. I was a preacher at one time. I had no idea. Okay, and I'll just pass with this. I had no idea who God was when I was killing myself in the food. But now I have some sort of an idea. So thank you all for being here and opening my mind to that idea. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you for your share. Next up, we have Becca R., followed by Betsy H.
Hey, good morning. This is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in. I'm from Kentucky, but I'm calling in from Florida today. And I just wanted to share what came up for me was I had to give up some conceptions that I held in my recovery. I wish that when I first was introduced to the program of Overeaters Anonymous that I could say I came all the way in, sat all the way down, and did the whole program, no questions asked. But that wasn't my story. There was so much reservation, like, I'll come in and I'll do this, but I won't do that. I'll do this and this, but I'm still not going to do that. And when I had finally been beat to a state of willingness, I had to let go of these conceptions that I had in recovery. One of late was that, like, the physical abstinence was enough. I find myself seeking more of the spiritual side. I've been in a normal body size for years now, but I still have this disease of the mind, and so my thinking is still off, and now I'm just really trying to connect with the emotional part and seeking God. And I love this quote that I heard on a speaker tape recently, and it says, there are no words to explain knowing God, but that's all we have to explain our words. And so I just try to find other people who something about one overeater to another, there is something that happens, and that's where I feel my heart power. And I love that I get to do this with you guys, and I love that I'm open to having a new experience even in my recovery. It can still grow, change, manifest differently. And as one of my first sponsors used to always say, there's always more to be revealed. And so I'm going to stick and stay and hold on and wait for the next thing to be revealed. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you for sticking, Becca R. Before we move to Betsy H., just want to remind everyone we're on page 42, the second paragraph, starting with, then they outline the spiritual answer, ending with, as in fact it proved to be. So next up, we have Betsy H., followed by Deb E.
Hi, this is Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. And I think this paragraph is interesting. It talks about a spiritual answer and what was my problem. I couldn't stop overeating. I was overweight. I hated myself. I was miserable for years and decades. And so they're saying, okay, we have a spiritual answer to this problem, and there's a program of action. But he said it might be kind of drastic. And it's interesting because it makes me think, okay, and I had to throw out certain lifelong conceptions. And for me, it was like one of them was that food has magical powers, a lifelong conception I've had. Food is, I treated food like a higher power. I would go to food all throughout the day whenever I felt bored, I felt uncomfortable, I wanted to celebrate, I felt tired, anything, I would go to God, to food, as if it were my higher power. And so it's interesting, I'm already used to depending on food as if it were a higher power, but it doesn't have the power to improve my life. It makes me feel better for a few seconds, and then my entire life progressively gets destroyed. I needed a higher power, one that actually has power to uplift my life. And then it talks about this program of action might be drastic. And I think for me that's okay because I'm already a person of extremes. I already was going to extremes to get food, to hide the amount of food I was eating, to hide the wrappers. I would put it as a priority. It didn't matter. I would find a way to get the money to buy the food. And so I think it's, for me, I'm already kind of used to going to extremes, so it's kind of natural that I would put my program of recovery as my number one priority. And just because sometimes I have to make it an emergency and just set aside everything else and take care of my recovery, especially in the beginning. You know, with time, with more recovery, maybe I'll have time, and likely I will have time to do more other activities. But when something's an emergency, I put that first. You know, I just go to the emergency room. I don't say, well, I need to go to work, you know, if I have a broken leg, or I need to go to the PTA meeting. No, it's like it's an emergency. I'm going to go to the hospital and take care of that. And my addiction is like that. So with that, I think I will keep coming back and I will pass.
Thanks for sharing and for keep coming back, Betsy H. Next up, we have Debbie. And after Deb, we will open the line for more folks. Go ahead, Deb.
Thank you. Hi, this is Debbie E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And there's words that like have been jumping out at me as I've been listening to people share and listening to the paragraph. There's action, drastic, proved to be, and I'm going to pull one word from the previous paragraph, evidence. Because the first sentence here, it makes me think of evidence and proof. They outline the spiritual answer and program of action, which 100 of them had followed successfully. So I feel like it's like they're making a sale, kind of like they're saying, look, this is what you have to do. And look, 100 people already followed this and it worked for them. So it can work for you too. I feel like it's a good, like they had good evidence that this could work, right? They were showing that this program actually works with people. They're not just like talking about something theoretical. And action, it talks about a lot on this meeting of how, you know, this program it's not about needing it or wanting it. It's about just doing it, doing the work. And I've seen that to be true, like in my life in general, like outside of this program. And the work I've done in this program, showing myself that like, if I just do it, then I'll get somewhere. You know, if I just do the work, if I just follow the instructions, if I just continue going day by day, one step at a time, things change and things happen. And it's really helped me in other aspects of my life where I feel like I can't do something or I'm you know, afraid to try something. And I'm like, the only reason I'm still around in this program and it's still working for me is because I just keep doing it. And so it's, the word action is like a really powerful word for me. And drastic, you know, it required a drastic change because I needed to like make a complete change from how I was before. The way I was acting when I was in the food, you know, like all my character defects basically running the show, and the way on all my, you know, on the food level and just on the day-by-day relationships with, you know, personal interactions with people. So it's a very drastic change that occurred. And then I like how it ends as, in fact, it proved to be. Like, yeah, it did turn out to work. It did turn out that this program that they're presenting here, it actually does work. And it actually does make changes, and it actually has improved my life. And I think I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb E. So just a reminder, we're on page 42, second paragraph. Then they outline the spiritual answer and finishing with, as in fact, it proved to be. And we're commenting on that one paragraph. And remember that if you shared on Friday or Monday, please refrain so that others can share. And if you have never shared, today's your jump in. Who would like to share?
ENF.
ENF.
Sandra Maria.
Sandra Maria.
Lorraine M.
Lorraine M. Okay, we'll start then with those three, ENF, Sandra Maria. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, Rob H.
Rob H. Okay. So I have ENF, Sandra Maria, Lorraine M., and Rob H. So everyone, please mute your phone. ENF, please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Sandra Maria.
Awesome. Hi, I'm ENF of Indiana. Very grateful to be here. I'm in a situation now, got some circular thinking going on. The gist of it is, I told someone I was interested in them and I'm not, because I was lonely and that was dishonest. And I have these jobs that I'm waiting on, and I feel like I have my neck stuck in a guillotine. And I got to thinking last night, like, oh man, what am I going to do? I feel completely hopeless. Nothing is going my way. And things, paragraphs like this are exactly what I need when I'm in that space, because it's, doesn't matter how much time I have, I'm going to get stuck in that thinking, because this is the thinking that defines the addict or the alcoholic or the compulsive overeater. Not only had I been off guard, I had made no fight whatever against the first drink. This time I had not thought of the consequences at all. And later they're talking about willpower and self-knowledge. You can study the big book every day. You can write in the margins every day. It will not save you from being an alcoholic. It'll save you, you know, if you do the things in it, if we follow the steps, we raise a defense. You know, and it used to be when I was stuck in places like this that I would eat, you know, and now I haven't eaten. You know, and that's kind of the miracle of this thing. You know, but I still have to remember I have an alcoholic mind, you know, and now I understand that I have a problem that I cannot defeat on my own, right? And part of our admission that we have this disease is every day we say, I cannot do this on my own, you know, and we rely on God. So it's a beautiful paragraph. Thanks for letting me share. Love to hear the rest of the shares. Love you all. Bye.
Thank you, Ian F. Next up is Sandra Maria. Please give us your first letter of your last name as well.
Hi, this is Lorraine M. from California.
Oh, sorry, I have Sandra Maria first.
Oh, that's fine. I'm sorry, I didn't hear when I was doing
Sandra
Star Wars.
Sandra Maria B. from Sweden. B was
okay.
Initial. Yeah, thank you for the reading. Thank you for being here and sharing your experience, strength, and hope. Yeah, the mind. When I was just reminded about this drastic solution, that this program really, really guides me through. And the first time ever I found a way, I took off from my studies, and asked the doctor to give me a sick delay because I knew I needed to do a drastic change and I was not able to do it with any other focus. So I still finished my education, like distance in some way, it was very in the end. But I just remember, and I feel happy when I think about it, because that change really, really changed me and started a beautiful journey. And the challenge is for me, if I'm in a place where, like, I'm not overweight, I'm not underweight, it's like I'm in some kind of balance, and it's like, but I don't need to be too drastic. Like, then it's like even more needed. And it can be hard for my brain to understand, like, why is it so important? And that's why I need to go to the meetings, because my memory is like a fish, especially when it comes to the disease. So I'm really grateful that I'm here with you. And the more I attain meetings, the more I, you know, go into the program and the fellowship, the more I want to go here, because God is really in the midst of everything. And yeah, I'm extremely grateful, and I need to point that out. And last thing I wanted to share is that it's easy to idolize a lot of things in my life. When food is down, it's like 10,000 other things that becomes my idol easily. And I'm really in a process where I'm trying to let go and lose control. It's like so many layers, and it's extremely drastic, and it's extremely terrifying sometimes. But I'm so happy I'm not alone. It's nice when people share their vulnerabilities. Otherwise, I feel left out. Anyways, I wish you all a beautiful and continuous blessed day or night. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra Maria B. in Sweden. Next up is Lorraine M., followed by Rob H.
Good morning. This is Lorraine M. from California. Thank you, everyone, for being here today. It's really a wonderful way to begin my day. As we read this paragraph, it takes me back to when I was first introduced to the program some years ago, and it brings me that sense of hope again. You know, every day I need that sense of hope, and I need to remember that, yeah, I need to connect with HP today. I need to let go, and I need to let my higher power guide me. But when I was thinking about back then, when I really first was introduced to the program at the very beginning, you know, they're like, oh, you need to attend at least 6 meetings and find out what meetings, you know, you're attracted to and that you want to keep coming to. And I recall going to a meeting. It was a big book study meeting. I, you know, was on the telephone, was listening, and I thought, well, this is silly. What a silly meeting. Like, we already read the book. Why are we doing this again? So that was a long time ago. It brings me back to today and how important it is reading the book. And so I'm so grateful in the gift that many of my barriers have been removed. Some of my character defects, you know, are being removed as long as I do the action that's necessary, as it says in this paragraph, you know, to do that action, because those lifelong conceptions, they're lifelong. They're still in my diseased brain, and they pop up here and there, you know, with this cunning disease. And I just really, really have to remember that. And I'm grateful that, you know, we read this paragraph today. And even though it says it's a drastic program, when I look at it in my perspective today, you know, you look around people and, you know, that's just a perspective. It's not that drastic. You know, we have a lot of athletes in the family. Guess what? They train, they spend hours training. They pay very special attention to their food and what they put in their body because that's the life that they want. But for me, the actions that I take today, though they may seem drastic to some people, that's what I need to live so that I could have that spirituality to let my higher power guide me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Lorraine M. Next up is Rob H., and then we'll open the line for a couple more shares. Go ahead, Rob.
Thank you. This is Rob H. From Greenwich, New York. What I get out of the recovered compulsive overeater, what I get out of this paragraph, they outlined the spiritual answer. This book does a pretty good job of outlining it for me. My sponsors point me to this book. And, you know, lifelong conceptions I had to throw out the window. Well, first thing was, I'm not going to pray, you know. I don't do prayer, you know. What am I talking to some, you know, people are going to think I'm crazy if I'm talking to myself, you know. So that was the first thing that went out the window for me was, all right, well, maybe I'll try prayer. Then, actually probably before that was, reading on page 47, you know, we had to ask ourselves, you know, do I now believe or am I even willing to believe that there's a power greater than myself? That happened before the actual prayer. I probably sat with that question for a long time. Every once in a while, I'd get inspired by it, and then, you know, I just walk away from it and whatever. It's been a long time to get where I am right now, but, prayer was huge for me. And then, you know, the 10 steps, doing those on a regular basis has also been very, very big deal for me. You know, looking at the character defects, that there's only five. It says it in the book, there's only five character defects. You know, I could come up with a million different things that I do wrong, and I thought those were my defects, but I learned those are, you know, behaviors based on the defects that I have. So just little things, you know, the educational variety for me, it's really been helpful for my life. And, you know, so today I have some recovery, and I'm grateful for it. And, I would like to help others however possible. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Rob H. Okay, we have time for like two short shares. Who would like to share? And if you have never shared before.
This is Shirley R.
Shirley R. And one more.
Can I share right now?
No, we'll take one more person. Shirley R. and one more person.
Hi, I'm MP.
MP? Okay, mm-hmm. So go ahead, everyone mute, and we'll have Shirley R. followed by MP. And
awesome. I'm back after a bad relapse, and I'm fighting food, and I need outreach calls, and I realize I'm desperate, and I need to... get with God, and I'm going to be doing these meetings daily, and thank you.
Thank you, Shirley R. Welcome back. MP, go ahead. You can do a few minutes.
Hi, I'm M. I am a compulsive eater, and I just wanted to share really quickly because I never shared in this meeting, and I'm on day 4 of abstinence. I started coming to meetings about 2 months ago and kind of slowly surrendering, considering the possibility. And I just wanted to share because sometimes I struggle with outreach or with, you know, I kind of revert back to trying to do it on my own, or maybe I surrendered my food, but then I see myself not surrendering other things. And I just feel like I'm still learning to surrender, but I'm so, so grateful, so grateful. Couldn't be more grateful to be on day four and this meeting, all the recovery, hearing everyone. It's so helpful. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. And Pete, we do have time for one more share. Who wants to jump in? Okay, well then we'll wrap up. Thank you all for your shares. I learned so much from you. So we will now. Hello?
Hi, it's Ann A. I don't know if I have time to share. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. You have like a less than a 2-minute share.
I'll take it. Thank you so much, moderator, and everyone who gives such beautiful service here and everyone here. My name is Ann A, and I'm in New York. And what a beautiful meeting. You know, I knew at a very young age that I couldn't share my feelings and not to talk about them and not to trust. And I was so grateful the Girl Scouts came in my life in second grade, and there I learned, you know, all the Girl Scout rules. Number one, be self-reliant. And that was my motto all through my life until fast forward to the pandemic and so many years, 5 decades of abusing myself, hiding my feelings, stuffing them down, and into my, you know, selfish, dishonest, unloving, harmful ways. And God granted me, I asked him for help and he helped me. He set me on a course, which is this rigorous way of be honest and to live the 12 steps and to find love in these rooms. And you all know who I'm talking about. And I do love you all. I am so grateful that I can be present for my daughter. I just came back from Pennsylvania her last year, that for the last 4 years she's seen me recovered. And today I am the best version of myself because I pray and I meditate, just like step 11 says, prayer and meditation. I'm learning what that means every day. I am so grateful to have a spiritual big book sponsor since December. And thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Ann A. Okay. We now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So I have Becca R. Please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, this is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Oh, we can't hear you, Becca. All right, can somebody else? Let's see, Sherry M., could you take over reading page 164? All right, can I be heard? Can I be heard?
Yes, you can be
okay,
heard.
Okay, I got it.
Donna.
I got it.
Okay,
Sherry,
yes,
our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.